Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome Periscope, welcome Blog Talk Radio. I'm excited about being here tonight. You know, tonight is Prophet's Night. And we all know we love Prophet's Night. I wish I could tell you that I love any one of them more than the other. I really can't say, because I certainly enjoy Tuesday night when we have Apostolic Christian Night. So we've named them. You see, we've named them Tuesday night, Apostolic Christian Night here, 8 o'clock, and then Thursday night, Prophet's Night, Prophet's Ed Night, but we call it Prophet's Night. And then we have Thursday afternoon. So we've been busy. Our audience is growing. I want to take an opportunity to thank all of you for supporting me and praying for me and interceding, and to let you know we're going on and we're growing strong. And that's a powerful thing. That's exciting. I also want to thank you who have joined us on the webinar on Saturday. It was very great. I enjoyed it. We're still getting feedback from it. I think a couple of people are still purchasing it to view it before the time runs out. And so I don't know what my staff has done. I usually should know, but you know what? I kind of let them do their jobs. They do it very well. And so it could be that you can get another opportunity to view the webinar. We are planning to bring it back in a few weeks just to give you one more chance. So if you haven't done it, pay attention and listen for the dates that we'll show it up. It'll only be up for 3 days, and after that it's gone until. And so I want you to know that if you missed it, you may have an opportunity to get it again. I don't know what on the website. You probably can go there and see if you can still get it because it was awesome. It was very powerful. One of the things that stood out that most people commented on is when I taught about the five prophecies that still rule the world. So now that's a nice teaser. You can go figure out what that is. And that these prophecies set it in motion. Even though we have Jesus Christ, even though he, you know, did away with the curse of the law, he delivered us from the curse of the law, he brought the new creation to planet, all of that is real, and yet these five prophecies still control. So you might want to get it. If you've missed that window, we are planning in the very, very near future, I'm thinking a couple of weeks, to bring it back for a three-day period only. So if you've missed it, you may get an opportunity to do it again, and if you do, don't miss that opportunity, because you will find out about the five prophecies that rule the world even today. Well, we're ready to get started. Are you ready to get started? I am. So if you look on your screen, I left you talking, introducing God's prophetic staff and God's prophetic institution. That's where we left off last week, covered that a little bit, and I told you I wanted to give you a sense of what makes prophets different, or prophetic ministry different. When God says he has the fivefold, he really does, and they serve a purpose. And even the threefold. We talked about 1 Corinthians 12:28. I've said it in the past, but it bears repeating that 1 Corinthians 12:28 is about the institutional officers. Those are the institutional officers. Ephesians 4:11 are the administrative ones. They're the carry it outers. And so, because if you listen to the language of it, it almost explains itself. The 1 Corinthians 12:28 says that God has set these in the church. And then he says first apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers. And then after that, it goes into miracle workers and all of that. So that's telling you that's the church institution. I'm going to come back to that in a moment to let you know why it was important. Ephesians 4:11 is talking about the people themselves, the gifts, the people themselves. God has given some apostles. He didn't say set in the church, because that was already established by Corinthians, but he said God has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So over the years that we've been reviving the prophetic and the apostolic, we focus on the people and not necessarily institution. And so 1 Corinthians 12:28, those are your institutional officers, the foundation of the church, the staples of the church, the services of the church, stewardship of the church. All of that is included in that 1 Corinthians 12:28 and 29 passage of Scripture. Here's what's interesting, because you kind of wonder, well, what's the big deal? Here's the difference. A apostles and prophets were not born in the church. They didn't belong to the church. The priests were teachers, or scribes were teachers, so that pretty much covered. But they've never been in the church. You often wonder why Paul went through the trouble of doing it, because they were operating, and God had to let the church know that they belong in his church, but he also had to let them know that they're not just kingdom. You know, because we can tend to be very divisive. The church tends to be quite linear in its thinking and somewhat myopic. You know, and we get on one thing. That's why we can only take one move of God at a time, because you give us too many moves, we don't know what to do. We get frozen. We won't move. So he had to tell the apostle and the prophets who were born outside of the church, the prophets being born under natural Israel and the apostles being born at the tail end of natural Israel and at the beginning of before the church even got into the planet. So while the Holy Ghost was en route, Jesus was training the apostles, the people, these 12 people, to carry on his church. Now, having said that, I need you to understand that there's a difference between every office. Remember, Ephesians 4:11 deals with the people. God gave us some churches, perhaps, some people, some ministers, but not everybody is called to be under apostles. Not everybody's called to be under a prophet. Not everybody's called to be evangelical. It just isn't so. It's only because the church tends to be so linear, myopic, that we tend to, you know, bunch up in different things. I remember having a discussion once with another apostle who felt that everybody should be under apostle and every church should be apostolic. I don't agree with that. Even though I am promoting and teaching apostolic Christians, and what I'm dealing with those who are called, the sum that God gave, that's what I'm dealing with. But not everybody's doing it. Some people, we need pastors in the body of Christ. We need pastors to shepherd the flock and tend to them and, you know, nurture them and all of that. We need that. We need teachers, because how are we ever going to disciple people to that which God has ordained his church to do, or what he's releasing at different times in history? So we need that. We need that evangelist, because we need somebody to go out and birth some folks in the church. So there is no exclusive anything. And if we ever put this institution together, and we put it together as an interacting, interrelated, functioning entity that it belongs to, that should be, you would be surprised how powerful the body of Christ would become. So if you don't feel like you want to have the prophetic in your church, you have that prerogative. That is your decision, and God's not going to fight you. If he wants those people under you to be under the prophetic, he's going to move them out of your church. That's just what he does. God, you know, he's not going to shut down your church because you don't want to be prophetic. Now, I don't know why I'm going in this direction, but I think it might be very nice for me to go on and follow this, since God is saying something. So you don't want the prophetic in your church? Fine. God's okay with that. He, I promise you, he won't shut you down. He's not going to wipe you out. He's just going to move your people. So everybody that he wants to be under a prophetic church, he'll just start moving on them, breathing on them. And next thing you know, Lord, you know what, Pastor, the Lord's telling me to move on. And if you are one of those people that you're constantly bashing the prophetic because you so disagree with it, or you're so angry with it that, you know, you use your pulpit as a soapbox to do that, those people that God is moving into the prophetic will just leave. And some of them will tell you, others won't tell you anything. Because when it's all said and done, there are moments in every minister's life and every minister's career where Jesus Christ shows himself as the shepherd of the flock. He'll do it. Because he has something you don't have. He has 24/7 access to your sheep. 24/7. That means he's in their day, he's in their work, he's in their sleep. He's in their dream. He does not have to wrestle with us. And he doesn't. He should, you know, God's very laid back. I tell you, he's one of the most laid back leaders I've ever seen. He's the most laid back, aggressive leaders I've ever met in my whole life. I mean, because he holds all the cards. So God will work a sheep until he moves them where he wants them to be. Even the sheep that doesn't want to move. And if they get too difficult, if he can't move them in peace, then he'll move them in chaos. He'll just create, you know, remember the church in Jerusalem, they were all excited, and nobody wanted to go evangelize. So God had to raise up persecution to get them to go ye into all the world to fulfill the Great Commission. So everybody doesn't have to do that. If you don't want to, you just want to have a wonderful evangelical church, a nice missions church, God will rejoice with you in that, because you know what? He wants his people churched. So this whole idea that God's going to do away with the local church and he's going to do, no, no, he's not doing that. I'm telling you right now, as an official of the kingdom, he's not doing that. God needs every member doing their share. God's trying to get more churches and more pastors and more five-folders and more three-folders so we can get the eight-folders doing the full job. And so I just felt like I needed to say that, that you would understand the difference. So when 1 Corinthians 12:28-29, God had to tell those apostles, guys, you are in the church. It's the church that I'm working with. You are the body of Christ. Even if we started out as the body of Christ, embodying Christ, and then we started embodying buildings, or buildings started embodying us. So that's something I thought was necessary. So whoever you are who's teaching that, don't you let that go, because that's not what God's doing. All right? Prophetic ed class, prophecy comes from God's presence. Now, we often have the conflict between the theologian and the prophet. We always do. And, you know, at the risk of upsetting more than I've been upsetting these last several weeks, hallelujah, prophets were the first theologians. Remember, Abel was the first prophet. Before there was an institution, before there was anything else, there was Abel, and there was Abraham, and there was Enoch, and there was Noah, and there was prophecy, and there were prophetic, and they were teaching people the mind of God. This tension that we have and this friction between the two ought not to be. Before you can theologize, before you can ologize anything, you have to first have it. It has to be brought into existence. So before we theologize God's word, it was prophesied. You know, I love training prophets. I can't even tell you I love it. I love it. I equally love training apostles. Both of them, I love it. I can spend days and weeks just breaking it down. But what I love about prophets is prophets are literally the prototypical ministers of the kingdom of God, of the planet. It all begins with the prophets. It all is, which is why the enemy works so hard to pervert this institution and to short circuit our excellence. It's important that you get that. Prophets literally are the prototypical ministers, representatives of God in the planet. Before there was anything else, there was the word of God. And that's what prophets exist to do, to publish and popularize God's word. So as we go forward, I want you to hear that, because that means, and are you saying this is an either or? I don't believe that. I will never say it, because I do believe that we have trashed enough of what God introduced to the kingdom. We don't need to trash another thing. We have trashed enough things. We have thrown away this because we didn't understand it. We've written off that because we didn't understand it. But that is not helpful to God. If it's not your calling, that's fine. Just don't bash it. Don't trash it. Don't bash it. Just don't do it. And we just go on. But I'm not separating the two. I think prophets need to be, especially if you're going to be official prophets, you do need to be theologically trained. I do believe that. You need to know the backstory. You need to understand that. You need to have some training in humanities and sociology, because you're speaking to the world. Prophets need that. But in the absence of all of that training, they got it from God, and they brought it into the planet. So if you look at your screen, it talks about theology. Prophecy comes from God's presence and person. Prophecy comes from God's presence and person. Theology comes from God's printed text. So the teacher will always work with the text, and the prophets will always work with the voice. And the ideal thing is when you get a prophetic teacher and a prophetic educator, or an apostolic teacher, an apostolic educator. Now that's when God gets mileage out of you. Because most people are not able to do both. Having that intellectual prowess to bring down that word from God and then relate it to the situation without discrediting what's gone before and laying a strong foundation, or at least a strong track for what's coming, is a gift. That's a real ability. And there are a bunch of you listening to me tonight who have it, and it's just never been awakened. It's never been tapped into, but you've expressed it and shown inklings of it here, there, and everywhere. You're the ones that cannot just say, I got a word and run and leave it. You want to understand it. You're researching. You're always in those thesauruses. You're always in the dictionary. You probably have an amazing reference library, but you have been talking and thinking it's either going to be academic or prophetic. And that isn't true. God is the word. Everything that we see and have do and handle brought into existence by his word. The man just spoke. He is the consummate mind of all creation. I know it's scary, but understand this. He had it before he had us. God had his consummate mind of all knowledge and all creation before he made us, which is why he could do such a good job bringing us into existence. So if you look at your screen, prophecy comes from God's presence, the person of God. Theology comes from God's printed text, which is why you have all of those tensions, those arguments between, well, you know, the text doesn't say, well, so-and-so said this, but then so-and-so wrote that, and so-and-so did this, and well, then someone else wrote that. And so, we have to give credence to all of them because we are all viewing the text differently. But here's the difference. The distinguishing factor is this. Prophets are dealing with the person of God, not just his publications. The person of God. And so you can sit people down, and there's a lot to be said for the letter because it's unchanging, but yet there's a lot to be said for prophecy because prophecy updates the letter. Prophecy updates what God has been saying or what he wrote. It will always update it. For example, when I was studying and preparing for this ministry, I read tons of commentary. I read them. I was trying to, as a matter of fact, I could only read them for about 3 or 4 years before I realized, okay, so this is the who he said, she said, who canceled out the other set. And so, but there was a lot of value there, a lot of meat, and I got a lot of meat from it, and I still have some, and I still read it. So I'm not, I told you, I don't bash what the king is doing. I find out where it fits, if it fits for me. If it doesn't fit at that moment, I store it. Because eventually, before I leave this planet, I found I'm going to need it. So I started reading it. And I began to realize, one of the reasons I can do this is because I began to realize that they did not deal with the person of God. They dealt with the history. They dealt with the word of mouth. They dealt with testimonies. They dealt with civilizations. They dealt with his communities. They dealt with the history of his people. But what was on his mind and why he did or didn't do, acted or reacted the way he did in given situations, never really addressed. Now, it was alluded to. There were some really good ones out there. I have some people, some of them I can name that I absolutely love. But I'm telling you, the prophet is dealing with the not only the printed word of God, what God has said, because it is the more sure word of prophecy, talking about the scriptures, but we've got all this extra biblical stuff that we fight over now. We can't even help ourselves. We just keep fighting over it. And so when I realized that, and God began to talk to me, and he began to train me, and he began to tell me his mind, and not just, you know, well, this is it. God would answer me. You know, you could tell what kind of teacher he was because he would say to me, well, so why'd I do that? And I'm thinking, when he first started doing it, I thought, this has got to be a joke. This has really got to be, he's got to be kidding me. But eventually I realized I was in training. And so he said to me, so why did I do that? And I said, well, God, I don't know. I said, but if I were you, I would be doing it because of blah, blah, blah. Because prophets are known for wisdom and logic. When you are well-trained, you will be wise and logical. You won't see hype. All of this crazy hype we have going on, those are gifters. Prophets are known for wisdom and logic, which is why, what are we reading? What is the Bible but the prophets' conversations, interactions with the Lord? Understanding and processing life with the Lord, recording and scribing for God. If those prophets had never, they didn't know they would end up with something called the Bible. They never thought that. They were thinking, okay, so I might as well get the scroll down so I can give it to the people of God. And they were, you know, I'm sure that they had a sense of the future, they're speaking into the future. I'm convinced that they had a sense of it, but I don't think they ever saw anything like what we have today. They thought the word of the Lord and the scrolls. I'm thinking even those that prophesied into our future and prophesied into the church and all of that, they didn't have a sense of that. But one thing they did do, which is why the printed word is important, and we meet those theologians, because they also knew that they had to have ways to test what was coming and test what was coming to them and to confirm it and verify it. That's why we need every member in the body of Christ doing their share. And we need to respect each other and start respecting one another's talents and one another's calling, one another's emphasis. Not just the gift, but emphasis. So-and-so may be called to do it just like that. And when we start, it was prophets that were able to identify the different branches and the array of prophetics and the array of priesting and all of the prophets did that. That is why your education is so vital. That is why your training is crucial. You cannot sidestep training because a lot of past, present, and future rides on your calling. And so we're going to have to start celebrating our teachers and celebrating those people. If they get it wrong, hey, we don't get it right all the time either. You know, we just don't live to get it wrong. But understand that when the prophet is talking from two ways, talking from the presence person of God, but the prophet is also updating God's ancient text to relate it to this modern world. Prophets are never to eradicate and eliminate what God has been saying. But we're going to get that update. For example, when you think about it, the 1900s, early 19th century, let's think about that. Just let's walk with me here for a moment. Well, that's the 18th century. Let's not even go that deep. We'll go 18th century, you know, when we were just awakening to technology and stuff. But let's say we're in 18th century and we read Revelation 11 about the two prophets that were, you know, given for 3 years, had a 3.5 year ministry, tore up the planet. God gave them all kinds of power. They came, folks, knees knocked and everything. And then they were finally killed and God allowed them to be killed. And then they laid in the street for, you know, 3 days. And then the Spirit of God, think about that. And think about, we could not understand how the whole world would see them laying in the street. But today we do. Today we can see it in an instant. We've got satellites all over the sky and all of those kinds of things. So the prophet's job is to update God's words and revelation so that we are always current with time and technology. We're always current even though we are still eternal. So the ancient texts are helpful to us. We need those. But the prophet is moving in the eternal realms always. Always. I wanted to make that clear. So, you, again, on your screen, academics equals print, prophetics equals presence. Each balances and verifies the other. So we're not going to have it. Because my students have to learn some theological things. I need them to understand that. I need you to understand some of that backstory, some of that back study. I need you to understand the history, what those people were, because God's business is people. If you're taking notes tonight, or if you just want to say, God, I want to remember something that you said, God's business is people. His business is people. His duty, his responsibility is life. Good life, bad life, high life, low life, half life, shelf life. It doesn't matter. God is about life. In him was life. You know? And so God is, you know, you have to understand that everything that God does, even though he's doing it prophetically or he might be doing it as an apostle or whatever, he's always doing it with people's lives because God's business is people. Our business is stuff. We are obsessed with stuff. God is not. God's obsessed with people because people are God's stuff. I think we covered that fairly well. Let's go on. I want to do a little bit of a recap. She's going to get it on the screen because, you know, they want to read it. So let's do a little recap. So far, we have established that Old Testament and New Testament prophets are the same. They're only one's handling, one is handling the single nation, Israel. The other one is handling the world, all of the nations of the earth. So it's not different. It's just broader. So as a matter of fact, I would have to say that there's more pressure put on the New Testament prophet than there is on the Old Testament prophet. And I'm going to show you an example of how a New Testament prophet will work in this environment as we go through the classes. Jesus is the Old Testament. We've talked about him being Yahweh of the Old Testament. A lot of New Testament-only churches don't know that. They don't know that he is Yahweh. They'll sit there and read it, but it goes blank. And so, but Jesus is the whole testament. I will also establish for you that the entire Bible is about Jesus Christ. We couldn't answer why do we have the Bible? And why do we need the Bible? And What are we to do with it? How do we go on with it? I mean, what do we? Because the whole Bible tracks Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. It's all tracking the Messiah. It's tracking Jesus Christ. And the, here's the phenomenal people. The phenomenal of this thing is that Jesus is the author and object of Scripture. So Yahweh, as Yahweh, he is prophesying himself into the planet. And he's tracking himself, starting out. And that's why when you go to Luke and you go to Matthew, there are these genealogies. Those genealogies are important because God wants you to know where the seed of Christ is traveling down through the line. You come down all the way down. We come all the way down from Genesis. We skip Abel and Cain. You see, we skip Cain and Abel. You know why? Because Abel was killed and Cain was cast out. When God, when you read, I believe it's Genesis 6, God does not mark those boys. They're gone. We don't hear about Abel again until Hebrews, and we realize, oh, so he made it in the Hall of Faith. We don't hear about Cain any longer because those two boys, when that was over, a time was shut, cut off. Whatever they did, cut off. And so when he said these are the genealogy of the children of Adam, and so he picks up really a set. So God needs Seth there so he can say, okay, the Christ has moved into that seat, moved into that line. And then here we go all the way down and we find out that it's in Noah's line, and we find out it's in Abraham's line. Well, you know, and then we keep on going down the line until we get to Isaac, and then we have, you know, the seed of Christ is in Isaac. Because it's important for you to understand this because the Bible tracks Jesus. He said, "In the you read the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." So they, it tracks Jesus Christ. That's why we have the scripture. We don't have it just because we want a great history. We don't want to have it so, well, you know, the Bible contradicts itself, not the journey of Christ. It says just what it needs to say to let us know where Jesus is. That's why we can understand what books shouldn't have been in the Bible, because the Bible is tracking Jesus the Messiah. It's not just recording the history of the people or the species or race that he came through. It's dealing with the where he is and where he's showing up. And so we get all down. We're all the way down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob becomes Israel, has 12 sons, and Jesus, he splits off again. And where is he? He's in the tribe of Judah. It's tracking. Jesus comes through the tribe of Judah, tribe of kings, okay? And then he's tracking. And if you read the prophecies for these people, it makes sense. The prophet needs to know this. So then now he's coming on down, and he's split off. He's in Judah. So now we know that's where the seed of Christ is. And then where does he show up again? He shows up in Jesse's bars. Jesse has 8 sons, but Jesus shows up in David. And so he's coming down the line, and they are measuring him. So when he appears in the flesh, bless his holy name, when he appears in the flesh, they know. Why? Because they understood that all of that was tracking the coming of the Messiah. Now, they might have missed him when he got here. He didn't show up looking the way they wanted. Probably needed him to show up like 9 feet tall, you know, glowing in glory, spreading light all over the place. But he showed up as a lowly, humble, carpenter the boy on donkey. So they missed him. And that was part of the plan, too. He came incognito. And so he comes to David. And right then, once he comes into the planet, he's now reproducing after his own kind himself personally by the Holy Ghost. So now we find out that he comes and he decides, I don't want to just have one, I want to have thousands of kids, millions, trillions of kids, because we are the new creation species. But we are after the order of Melchizedek. We are coming out of Jesus Christ, who's of the line of Judah. That's why we call him the line of Judah. So when you have to explain to people what the Bible is about, you can't make sense out of it if you don't recognize that the Bible is tracking Jesus Christ. It's about the Messiah. And after that, it's not, and from since the church, it's tracking Jesus by the Holy Ghost. So we have Jesus, God the Father, we've got God the Son, those 3 days, and then we've got God the Holy Ghost. And they're all tracking God to see how he gets his family back home. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a good piece of information that we need to have and that prophets need to know. So the whole Old Testament is Jesus. God's prophetic institution, we talked about that. We talked about God's prophetic staff. You can see some of those names up there on the screen. We also discussed that Jesus never abolished the law, but he simply embodied it. We talked about Jesus being the law and the prophets, and that the two work together. So that's why prophets can't get away. Talk about us as prophets. You know, and some of y'all will listen to me and would agree. You know, when people start talking about we're under grace, you know, y'all prophets steve at that grace, only grace teaching. Prophets are like, ew, and it's like somebody scratching on a chalkboard for them if they're a real prophet, because they know that can't be so, because the law came to prophets. God's law, legislation, enforcement, enactments came to prophets. You see how important we are to the kingdom? We're so important that even though the enemy keeps trying to wipe us out, he always waits until he counterfeits us and imitates us, and then he gets rid of the real. He does it by talking to us out of wanting to be trained, talking to us out of not wanting to know God, not wanting to understand our heritage, understand our importance, took the dignity from the mantle, the dignity from the office. And God is wanting to put the dignity back. And you need to look up dignity, because it's not just decorum, and it's not just somebody being, you know, very proper or correct. Look up the word dignity. Take my challenge. Look it up, and you're going to find out how it's been altered to suit our own diminishment of anything that's established and anything that is a stronghold or a pillar in creation. Jesus' testimony is the spirit of prophecy, and Jesus is the scriptures, and the scriptures of Jesus. So therefore, a prophet that doesn't talk about Jesus Christ is not representing him. Ouch. Because everything we're doing is Jesus. And we've already talked about prophecy being the whole word of God in God's mind. So here's some foundation points. Biblical prophecy encompasses the whole word of God. We don't cherry pick what we like and don't like. You know, we can't do that. We have to take, because prophets are responsible for God's continuum. Prophets are responsible for God's continuum. That is, everything that God has said before time began, everything that he'll finish saying when time is no more. Prophets are responsible for God's continuum. That's why when we start giving these crazy doctrines and crazy revelations, God gave us the scriptures to prove them, but he also put this truth in our soul so other prophets can judge. That's what prophets judge. We judge by what God has always said, how he's always reacted, how he always behaves in situations, various situations, whatever they are. So we stand up there and say all that kind of stuff, that crazy stuff. Well, God doesn't mind it. God doesn't care. And he's all right with this, and he's all right with that. That's a gifter or either it's a representative of another God. And I want to say this because it's important that you get that out of these sessions. It's always about other gods, because that's where the conflict began, and it will be where the conflict ends. It is always about that. It's not just us, whether or not we're sinners. We're sinners because of other gods. Adam fell into sin because he sold himself to another god. He bought a promise that Satan didn't have to touch. Well, almost casting on. Because why did he eat? He ate because the Satan was going to make him like God. It's always been about God. Gods and nations, gods and people, gods and civilizations. It's always been about that. And if you're operating your prophecy on culture, or you're operating it on faith, just someone's personal faith, or you're operating it on personal prophecy, you're going to be embarrassed, because this is about a bigger thing than you imagine. The prophets have always dealt with that. From the moment Adam ate from the tree, Satan took over the planet, took over the seed of Adam. It's been about the Creator God, Most High God, fighting for and defending himself and fighting for the people that he brought into existence and bringing us back into his life. That's the story in a nutshell. Now, he has a very elaborate, you know, complex way of bringing it to pass. But essentially, guys, that's the story. Okay, there are prophetic gifters and prophetic officers. We talked about that. We'll tap into that a little bit more in a moment. Gifters mainly prophesy, often just see and say, because the wisdom of the office is not open to them. Oh. See, just because your gift operates doesn't mean that the wisdom of the office or its spheres are open to you. That's something else entirely. Officers like the Old Testament Navi or Navi, depending on what commentary you're looking for, handle the whole institution of God's divine communications, the entire institution. officers. Now, here's where I want to go. This is very important. The last three on here, I want you to see them because we're talking about the institution. I have had people say to me, you know, because the church yet has yet to organize this and to treat it as if it is a valid, functioning, full-functioning institution, people still treat it like it's brushstrokes, you know. It's kind of like we sketch it in the sand, and when the next wave comes, washes it away, we'll resketch it again. And it'll change. But that's not how this is in God's world. So people will say to me, Dr. Price, and, of course, I'm in the office, and I say, how do you know? Because if you're going to tell me you're in the office, I need to know how you know. Well, because the Lord told me I'm in the office, well, that's fine. So you might be in the office in your prayer closet, but what does his public say? Because it's the people, the leaders that have gone before that say it. It is unfortunate that so many of these prophets are out here with nobody who can vouch for their prophetic beyond the people, beyond their stage work. Okay, now we're in the stage work. We're on the stage, and now it's a matter of, ooh, my heart burned, or ooh, I felt great. Or, ooh, but there needs to be a viable institution, which is why prophetic companies and churches are great, and every apostle ought to have a prophetic company. That's your job. Every apostle ought to have a prophetic company, and every prophetic company ought to have a staff of intercessors. That's order. That's covering, but that's being able to cover each other. Now you can bear witness. Nobody can bear witness after this stuff going on. It's a matter of personal feelings and prerogatives, and you'll end up arguing with people that don't have a clue about the prophetic, haven't read the Bible in 60 years, can't stand reading it, and when they do open it, they open it as a sedative, open it up, and next thing you know, they sleep just laying on their chest. They still haven't read it, thinking it's going to bleed into their heart. Come on. So you're arguing with people who don't even know what they're talking about. They have no idea. They're only going on what their unenlightened teachers or pastors have said, or what some unenlightened, frustrated author wrote. But I'm telling you that in God's world, that was not the case. When prophets existed, they had accountability. They were attached to apostles. That's why every apostle who is worth their salt, that apostle is really in office, is really carrying a commission. That commission must include a prophetic company. And that apostle has got to be able to vouch for those prophets that they've committed themselves, they're obedient, they've completed their training, they're certified, so that you can honestly say, well, you know what, son might have missed it, daughter might have skipped it, but here's what I have. I have a training track. See, I have a file, and here I have, these are the courses they have, these are what they did, this is how they perform, and this here, we found out that they have a 70% accuracy rate, they have a 20% accuracy rate. You, as somebody, ought to be able to say that about you, because it'll get you out of a lot of hot water. You know, and I trust that this thing has got to be established, and for the beginning of establishment is writing it out and ordering it and structuring it. So, and then every prophetic company, prophets are supposed to train intercessors because they're supposed to identify their replacements and their expanders in those from those intercessors. In my organization, prophets come from intercessors because if you can't pray, I don't want you to say. So if I can't get you to show up and pray, don't tell me you're a prophet. And please, please, by all means, never tell me that you're a prophet home in your prayer closet, because probably the only people benefiting from you is your clothes. So I don't care about that. I need to know, because the prophetic is meant to be a divine communications ministry. It's a public function. It's a public office. So we need to know how you're going to handle God's public. Everybody who's an intercessor, I got an intercessory group, but we just pray in our house. We don't pray at the church. Then how are you going to guard something you don't want us to be involved in? I don't have respect for intercessors who don't want to take care of their churches. You don't want to take care of your local church. Now, if your pastor puts you out, that's one thing. But at least you have to show that you're there to take care of your church, because God has set these in the church. He didn't say, I set them in a closet. I set them in the hotel room. He said, I set these in the church. And a person who will not intercede vibrantly and fervently for your church will also not cover it prophetically well. And these are things that have to be done. So if you're an officer, let's say you want to tell me, Dr. Price, I'm an officer. I'm going to ask you, what are you doing that's official? What makes you official? Because official means operating from an office. So what's making you official? That means that if you're an officer, you are accountable. There's an accountability, a line of accountability that has to happen. You cannot be an officer and unaccountable. If you're unaccountable, you're a freelancer, you're charismatic, you're a gift. We need to straighten up some things, people. We need to clarify some things. And we need to stop letting people tell us they're official prophets and we need to take their word for it just because they sing a song. Nobody takes a singer because they sing one song. They say, okay, well, let's see what else you got. Okay, well, let's check you out. We have to start checking folks out. Check them. It's okay. Now, you know, you're going to find some things you don't like or do like. Don't become one of those people that go into beginning the paranoia. If you check them out, and then investigate it. Find out. Verify the truth because people give false reports all the time. They give errant reports all the time. Remember, we're prudent. We're thorough. And true prophets, official prophets, are thorough. You want accountability. You want to have routine. I know that we say we don't like routine. Charismatics don't like routine because if you know they want to be able to show all their talents and just kind of spraying for it. But a prophet knows that God is a routine God. Sun comes up, goes down every day. The seasons are the same every day. Everything in God's word says I'm pretty consistent. I'm pretty. As a matter of fact, if God stopped the sun from going up and down and we went 3 days without sun, you know, people go crazy, start killing themselves. We count on God being the same yesterday, today, and forever. We count on that. We build our lives on it. We build our homes, our futures, and our careers on it. We raise our children with a hope and send them to college because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this whole kind of we're going to do something new, flash, dash, and whatever, that is not the Almighty. That's a magic show. That's an illusionist. It's important that you understand that. So if you're in an office, you belong to an office, like your own job. When you go to work, you say, I work with so-and-so. Well, do you work in the office? Well, no, I don't work in an office. I just sit at the front counter. But an office exists by an institution, and an institution empowers an office. So if you are disconnected to any institution, you're not an officer. You're a gift. You're a freelancer. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking that because some people need to do it. Some people, God needs to have some people that he can just whip here and there and give a word and go. But those are not the people who keep the kingdom. And those are not the people who guard the institution. Because guardianship is a big deal for an official prophet. They're always, wait a minute, who's looking out for the people? Wait a minute, we can't let this get out in the body. But hold on. For a prophet, oh my gosh, we don't even want to talk about apostles. They're way down the road on us with that. But order, consistency, those are the things that guarantee perpetuity. And everything, God, we have to be able to hand this off. Everything we do is about us handing it off and handing it off. So office appointment is to a position and not an activity. Office appointment is to a position and not an activity. If you are just about carrying out the activity, the activities or act of a prophetic, of prophesying, then you're not an officer. Because you're not working with anybody. It's about you, yourself, and you. And there is nothing wrong with that. If people want to invite you in, I don't have a problem with that. Come in, sing a song, do whatever you do. But don't say you're a guardian of the kingdom because a guardian is attached to a higher and greater power and a larger institution. Well, I mean, I'm just attached to Jesus. That's fine, but nobody knows that but you and Jesus because he's invisible and you're speaking for him, and we don't know if you're saying what he's saying anyhow. Well, the Lord told me to do that. When God tells you to do certain things like that, it's because he has been shut out of his institution. Or in today's case, he can't even get one going well. But understand, God brought Israel out of Egypt. And when he did, they set up in the wilderness. He set up his institution, etc. And in Deuteronomy 12, he makes a very interesting statement to let you know he was in a make-do mode. God was in a make-do mode. Like this tabernacle was a makeshift version of the temple that he had in heaven and the temple that Solomon would eventually build. Make-do, makeshift. And we need to understand when God has make-dos, makeshifts, and stand-ins, substitutes, temps. We need to understand that. And so he brought Israel out, and he engaged them in this elaborate process of building his tabernacle. I mean, they were making things for it. It was wonderful, doing a great job, right? But in Deuteronomy 12, he said, but listen, right now I'm tolerating y'all doing church wherever you find it. and I'm tolerating you just worshiping me anywhere you go and going to get your animals from wherever you want and bringing me any old kind of thing. He said, but there's going to come a time that I'm going to choose a place. And when I choose that place, I'm not going to let you worship me anywhere else. You will no longer be worshiping me in the fields. You'll no longer be worshiping me on the side of the roads. You're not going to build little shrines in your house and call that worshiping God. So what is he letting us know from that example? That he has introductory makeshift indulgences. God indulges a lot of things when it's new. He indulges a lot of things until he gets a quality staff that will keep his institution. People, I'm telling you, this is good stuff. This is necessary because I'm answering a lot of your questions. Some of you all is like, I just didn't know. Some of you leaders, I'm giving you permission to lead. I'm giving you permission to organize. I'm even giving you permission to screen. You can screen these people. You can filter them. We have an assessment that will help you do it. My standardized ministry assessments, we can help you screen these folks and place them properly. Just because somebody says they're a global prophet doesn't mean you have to accept them globally. You listen to them. Are there global words coming out of their mouth? Is there global behavior? Is there global actions and functions being carried out? Are they having global details? Or are they just aspiring? See, we've taken a lot of people on their own personal aspirations. They weren't inspired. They just aspired. And now it's time for us to do a little better. We need to correct our own issues. Every institution that finds that it has flaws and weaknesses gets together with its key thinkers, and they map out what the problems are and map out a solution. They evaluate the problems, they assess themselves, and the church is not even good at being assessed. We so want to be affirmed in our mediocrity and in our error, we won't even be assessed. I can't tell you how many people say, well, I don't know why you're going to assess a prophet. Well, let me show you, because you can. Isaiah 11, if you're reading from Scripture, this is from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5. And a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse. This is the International Standard Version, so you know where it's coming from. And a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots will bear fruit. And the Spirit of Yahweh, or the Lord, shall rest on him, a spirit of wisdom. If you're reading this with me, I want you to highlight what I highlighted on my screen. A spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And his breath is in the fear of Yahweh. And he shall judge not by his eyesight, and he shall rebuke not by what he hears with his ears, but he shall judge the poor with righteousness, and he shall decide for the needy of the earth with rectitude. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and he shall kill the wicked person with the breath of his lips, and righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. I highlighted all of the things that were functional, actionable, operable, every one of those things. So this is literally a profile of a prophet. What prophet? Jesus. Well, Jesus came as well. He also came as a prophet. He came as a great prophet to come, and we didn't find out until Hebrews that he came as an apostle, although we should have kind of sensed this, since he didn't anoint his 12 followers as prophets. That should have been a clue that he used the word prophet to fulfill Moses' word, and because he came to an existing place and not a foreign land. But his heavenly journey, his heavenly assignment was to be an apostle. So he was God's apostle and Israel's prophet. Now, he came as a prophet. Jesus came as the Son of Man. He did not come as the sovereign God. He came as the Son of Man. We need to be very clear on that. So as the Son of Man, he's laying out, Isaiah sees the time when God is sending forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's sending him forth, and he's operating like this. Now, they took a prophet to see it because only a prophet can tell you the functions and the actions and the duties of the office, the responsibilities, and the importance of accountability and collaboration. So let's look at what we have going on here. If you look at your screen, I have on the screen applying Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, prophetically. A blended prophet action profile, the acts plus character of the official prophet. So what are we looking at here? We're looking at, number one, wisdom. Number two, understanding. Number three, counsel. Real important, counsel. Number four, might. I'm going to come back on that in a minute. Judgment. Rebuke. Righteousness. Striking. Killing. And faithfulness. Now, I know you say that that's not so, but Hosea said that God healed or cut up people by the words of his prophet. God does everything by his word. So he put a word in the prophet's mouth. We see an example that, you know, while a prophet was prophesying, somebody died. And you didn't believe it? Yeah, because God has pulled back on this office because he doesn't have enough responsible people and enough emotionally stable people to occupy it. So he's pulled back. So we're just down to just seeing and saying and prophesying, and every now and then we hit a little something. But it's wisdom. Luke 11:49 says, wisdom calls apostles and prophets. Wisdom. Doesn't say it about anybody else, but wisdom calls apostles and prophets. So what does he say in Isaiah 11? That the first thing that's going to distinguish a prophet, particularly an official one, from every other minister is a peculiar wisdom. I wrote that in my book, The Prophet's Dictionary, and in the Prophet's Handbook. Understanding. Understanding is more than I see. No, understanding is being able to stand under that wisdom and support it with your own comprehensions, with your own intelligence, your own rationale, a rationale that doesn't conflict with the wisdom of God. And then we have counsel. One of the things that people don't understand about prophets is that they are first and foremost counselors. Nope, they aren't. Second counselors, first intercessors. We brought you down to major prophesiers. The prophets are counselors. Why? How do you say that, Dr. Price? Because if you have wisdom, guess what wisdom is for? Counseling. Might. The word might here is talking about force, and it's talking about the force that achieves victory, the force that accomplishes mastery, the force of mighty act, the force that exerts power, the force that exhibits strength as a warrior, a champion, a chief, a giant, or an excellent one. Look at the prophets that we have today. Let's see how close we're coming to this profile. And you can't do it just by the Spirit. You are going to have to do it because flesh does not obey the Spirit. The flesh obeys stress and threats. Flesh does not obey the Spirit. That's the problem. If the flesh could obey the Spirit, God wouldn't have problems with us in the flesh. So clearly, whatever you can get from God by the Spirit cannot be perfected by the Spirit because the flesh will not obey. The flesh responds to stress and stress. Now, you know that's good. I know some folks, I just want to sit there and listen to God. No. That's why we forget things. We have to keep repeating it. Repetition and practice makes perfect. Rebuke. Prophets are known for that. Moses rebuked all of them, did over and over again. Righteousness. Prophets are emissaries of God's righteousness. People don't know right from wrong until God gets involved. I'm running out of time on it. I'm having fun, too. All right. Striking, killing, they pretty much speak for themselves. And faithfulness. Prophets have got to be faithful messengers. And so Prophet Ashley has come in on my thing. We'll pick up next week applying Daniel 1:4 prophetically. I'm going to turn it over to her. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, spread it around. Share it with your friends. And come back and listen to it again and again. God bless you. Hey, Prophet.
Hey, Apostle.
Hey, Jesus is Lord.
Wow, what a teaching tonight. I am part of the Amen Choir. This is serious teaching. The body of Christ does need this. Somebody said teachers need this. It's just outstanding word, amazing presentation delivery, giving us a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So as being that official and that gift and being attached to an institution and that accountability, I took some good notes on my end of things. But go to www.drpaulaaprice.com and get filled in on what's going on in the world of Dr. Price. She broadcasts live 3 times a week. Some of you I know because I've talked to you. You are on Tuesday night, Thursday morning or afternoon, depending on where you live, and Thursday night as well, catching this word, spreading the word. Our numbers are growing. We want to keep reaching more and more and more and more and more people, and we need you to make that happen.
Yes.
Spread the word. Somebody else said we need to pass the plate and take an offering tonight. I agree. And you can do that by going to www. Dr. Paula A. Price. I do the shameless plugs here on supporting my apostle. She works ceaselessly to bring us all an outstanding word every single time. Every single time. I'm a witness. This is the real deal. So go ahead to her website. Sow a seed into her ministry, into her personally, because, well, you've earned it.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve it. This is just an amazing word. We're not going to do antics. We're not going to do any of those things. Just bless the woman of God, because she blesses us every single week. We have here our Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute coming up in June. Now, let me tell you something. You haven't seen anything yet until you've seen Dr. Price in her own event. So if you think that tonight rocked your world, you need to make it your business to get here in June in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for the Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute, June, what was that? 15th through the 18th. The dates are so close to November, I always mix them up. 15th through the 18th here in Tulsa. Go to her website. You can register there, get all the information that you need. Don't miss this window. Don't do it. Don't be a prophet who miss God, okay?
Oh, that's right.
It doesn't work well for our reputation and for our mantle. Don't be those prophets. And with that, I am done.
Thank you so much for joining us again. Go back, share it. Go back and watch it again on Periscope. And by all means, if I've been a blessing to you and you feel that I've given you the excellence of God, and if your heart is with me, then I'm going to ask you to open up your treasure to me as well. God bless you and good night.